Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So it's not that God is not able to hear us, but he will not hear man in his sins. And make no mistake about it, this applies to all of us. The Bible, Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if we want to be saved from our sins, if we want to be reconciled back to God, we need a mediator. Right? We need a mediator, and God has given us a mediator in Jesus Christ. Man. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So Jesus come to save us from our sins. God gave us a mediator. Amen. Yeah. We serve a good God. He didn't leave us in our sins. He didn't leave us lost. He didn't leave us in darkness. He didn't leave us in our own destruction. We serve a good God. Amen. David said in Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We serve a good God. Yeah. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Yeah. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We serve a good God. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He said, the Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So God, we serve a good God. He didn't leave us in our sins. He didn't leave us in darkness. He didn't leave us lost. Amen. So that's the first point we want to get. I want us to look at, we're going to take a look at the Old Testament, then we're going to take a look at the New Testament, then I'm going to sit down, all right? I want us to see the mediator in the Old Testament because I want us to take a look at the role of the mediator so we'll have a better appreciation for the mediator that we have in Jesus Christ. I want all of us to leave here tonight with a deeper appreciation for the mediator that we have in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Let's look at this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24. Verses 4 through 8. Here God uses Moses as the mediator between God and Israel to bind a contract with the children of Israel. He says here, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Why does Moses use the blood? In Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11, God said that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon an altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that make atonement for the soul. So to God, the only acceptable sacrifice for our soul is a blood sacrifice. So you have to use the blood. And so Moses here, he took the book, verse number 7, he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient to it. So now they agree into this covenant. They agree into this contract that Moses is about to bind with them. All right. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And he said, behold, the blood of the covenant. Y'all see this? And which the Lord has made with you concerning all his words. So Moses now is the negotiator who binds the contract between God and Israel that they agreed to keep. And God tells Moses to build a tabernacle. And in this tabernacle is a holy place in the tabernacle where the high priest would go and make sin offerings for the sins of the people. And now the high priest is going to be the mediator in terms of the reconciler. And so Moses now appoints his brother Aaron to be the high priest. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 16, verse number 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. Y'all see this now? He's going to bring the sin offering. First, he has to do this for himself first. Now, he's in the role of the high priest. And he says, and he shall make an atonement for himself and for his house and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. You see this? God is not repeating this for no reason at all. It's a purpose for this. He's Aaron, the high priest, he has to make a sin offering for himself, right? And this is going to make the peace. Now, we're going to look at how what we have in the mediator. Now they agreed to this contract. They agreed to this covenant, but they didn't keep the covenant. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31. We're going to look at verse 31 and 32. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse, behold, the days come, and saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. So they broke the covenant. So when I talk to the Seventh-day Adventists, I got some Seventh-day Adventist friends, and they saying that we still under the old law and should be worshiping on the Sabbath day. But I show them here that they broke the covenant. God didn't break it. They didn't keep it. But God knew that they wasn't going to be able to keep it. He already had this in his mind, but he was just trying to show man that we need him, that we can't do it without God. And a lot of people try to make it and do it without God, but he's trying to show us you can't do it without him. So now he makes a new covenant with a new mediator, but this is going to be a better covenant. Why is it better? Because this is going to be for the sins of the whole world, not just for Israel. John chapter 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God sends the mediator now for the whole world. So we want to look at what the covenant looks like in the role of the new mediator that we have in Jesus Christ. And I want us to leave here with a deeper appreciation for the mediator that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 and start at verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety, a better testament. You see this? Verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. What does this mean? They wasn't allowed to continue after death. Once they died, their priesthood was over, and they had to get another priesthood. Amen? Now look at this, verse 24. But this man, because he continue ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. So look what we have now in the high priest. Listen to this, verse number 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and make intercession for them. We have a high priest that lives forever. Jesus Christ is alive. Our mediator is alive. We have a high priest that'll never die. This is the good news of the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. We got to preach and teach the resurrection. This is the good news that our high priest now lives forever, that he'll never die, and he's making intercession for us forever, and we got to teach this resurrection. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse number 32, he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The resurrection is the drawing card. And we have some churches now, they want to preach prosperity preaching, and they want to draw people with prosperity. And we have some preachers preaching how badly Christ suffered, this sympathetic preaching, right? And they want to draw them off their sympathy. But that's not what Jesus told his apostles. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me. So we got to preach the resurrection. We got to preach, we got to teach and preach the resurrection. And we got to, on our jobs, in our families, to our neighbors, and let them know that he rose, that our Redeemer lived, and we have a high priest making intercession for us. As that makes, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 14, he say, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith is in vain also. None of this means anything if he didn't get up. So we got to get him, we got to make sure that we preach the resurrection. That prosperity preaching is in vain if I don't preach the resurrection. How much he suffered is in vain if I don't preach the resurrection. Does that make sense? That makes sense? So listen, I want to look at this. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 34. Romans chapter 8, verse number 34. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see this? This is the good news that we tell people, that we have a high priest that lives forever. And he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. It's a better covenant and a better mediator. I want us to leave here with a better appreciation. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. He says, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sin, and made higher than the heavens. For he who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." We have a high priest who doesn't have to offer up sin sacrifice for himself like the other high priest did. They had to first offer up sin sacrifices for themselves. We got to understand who we have. This speaks to who he is. This speaks to his nature. It speaks to his morphe. It speaks to his deity. It speaks to his righteousness. It speaks to his holiness. It speaks to his awesomeness. It speaks to his power. He doesn't have to offer up a sin sacrifice for himself. He did it for us. He died for you and me. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's a deliverer. He's a counselor. He says, "Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." We have a high priest that doesn't have to offer sin offerings for himself. Amen. So we have a mediator now that is undefiled, holy, and righteous. And I want us to leave here with a deeper understanding of who the mediator is. Amen? Amen? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more should the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered up himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he became he is the mediator of the New Testament." I know we want to thank God for the new car and a new house and a new job and the new girlfriend and a new boyfriend. Bless your heart. But listen, we want to thank God for the New Testament, all right? When are we going to thank God for the New Testament, what he did for us at the cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out the way and nailed it to his cross. I want to thank God for the mediator in the New Testament, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that was under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus Christ is our reconciler. He's our negotiator. He's our high priest. He's our mediator. Amen. And he binds it, this contract, with his own blood. And it's not a 5-year contract. It's not a 30-year contract. It's an eternal contract that we have in the Father. And we got to go out and we got to share this death, burial, and resurrection with everybody we know. Amen. Is that all right? All right, amen. I'm going to be good. May the Lord keep you and may the Lord bless you. Amen, amen.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free.
Amen. Brother Vincent, I think I'm going to just give you my time. Come on back up here. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, you fill me up. You said you wanted us to have a deeper appreciation for the meaning of mediator and who we have as a mediator. And I tell you what, I know I do. I definitely do have a deeper appreciation for that. I love watching these brothers, the different personalities that God can use to speak his word. Yeah, that's what we're earthen vessels, and God can use us if we commit ourselves to him in our own way. He can do that. My word is brother. I'm going to slow down a minute and try to teach on this word from the Word of God. Actually, I want to, my word is brother, but it is actually brother and sister. Brother and sister. The word, the original word, the Greek word, Adelphos, is the word for a male brother, in the sense that we're using it tonight as a fellow believer, male fellow believer, Adelphe. I know you see the long Adelphe is the feminine for sisters, brothers and sisters. It is used interchangeably. Sometimes it is the generic meaning both terms, but then there's sometimes that it does mean just the male. As Adelphe sometimes just means just a sister, female, a female believer. Then there's the term Adelphoi, and that is the generic term that's used for brothers and sisters. It's kind of how we're using it tonight as we expound and research on this word, brother, sister. Sister, male, fellow believer, female, fellow believer, Christian of the same faith. As in James chapter 2, verse 15, James chapter 2, verse 15, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, it identifies both of the words, Adelphos, Adelphe, brother or sister. God has the same love for brothers that he does for sisters. We all are fellow Christians, fellow saints, fellow servers of the same faith. It says, and if you see one, a brother or sister destitute, and James gives this example in the New Testament. But notice as we shift a little bit to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible says, honor all people. Then it says, love the brotherhood. Uses the term brotherhood in the New Testament. And those, the brotherhood is those who belong to the Christian brotherhood. And those who belong to that brother. You know what a brotherhood is. Often we think of soldiers. Or often we think of teams, men who are working together for a common cause. And it says, Peter says to the saints who were scattered throughout all the different regions, honor all people. That's everybody. Everybody, in other words, value everybody. Everybody in the world, value everybody. But then it says, love the brotherhood. And those are of like faith. Those that are in the faith. It says, fear God, honor the king. But it then listen to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Uses that term brotherly love. Now, and give preference to one another in honor. It uses the term brotherly. It's actually the word, the original word, Philadelphos, where we get the word phylos. It's a word that means attraction, an affectionate friend. Go back to the text. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly, in affectionate love for each other. It uses the term brotherly. His sister's talking to all of us, those that's in the faith. He says to be devoted to each other in affectionate love one for another. It's the word Philadelphia. You know, actually the term means the love of brothers. The love of brothers. The city of Philadelphia is called the city of what? City of brotherly love. God put this in his word. He says, I want you to have this affectionate love for each other. Yes, I want you to value everybody. And yes, we are even to love everybody. But in this brotherhood, listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter 3, 8. To sum up. All of you be harmonious, sympathetic. Then he says brotherly. He says be brother. He uses it as an adjective. Like you're supposed to know what this means. He says, I want you to be brotherly toward each other. So we say to each other, listen, brothers, we need to be brotherly in here. We ought to know what that means. He says we ought to be affectionate to each other. We ought to be love each other. Use the term brotherly. And, you know, I don't know why, because, you know, there's not a word in the Bible. Sisterly is not in the Bible. Although, in some instances, brother means males. But here, of course, it includes all of us. I don't know, it's because have you ever seen, some brothers who've been through war together. Brothers who've been through a battle together. There's this camaraderie. And they bond, and I mean they cut for each other, and they die for each other, and they have each other's. Have you ever seen some brother? I can see this in my own family. I have three brothers, and my brothers have come to my rescue on some occasions. Yes, they have. Just me mentioning that their names has saved me on some occasions. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and even now, if I call my brothers, all of them right now, and say, I need you, I need your help, and I need it right now. I believe all my brothers would stop what they're doing, and they would come to my rescue right now. And to know that we have this body, this brotherhood, in the Lord's church, that has each other's backs. I don't know where it comes. Even I know when we go to camp, when we go to summer camp with the kids, and I used to go over years, you know, and I know sisters, I know brothers can gossip just as good as sisters can gossip. You know, we know that, and brothers can be catty also. But sisters can show enough. I'm not talking to the sisters in here. It's just in the fifth ward. But you know sisters outside of here? Can't sisters be catty? Ooh, sisters. We go to camp, and I'm telling you, after everybody be smiling, having a good time, and before the day is over, the girls be, boy, they get jealous of each other, and they get mad because one of the boys give a compliment to one of the girls, and, ooh, they turn on her. And the boys, they just playing and tussling and cracking jokes and having a good time, and I don't care what they go do, they gonna eat. Girls cry, they can't even get them to the cafeteria. And boy, I don't know what it is, but the Bible, he uses this word, be brotherly, be like the brothers who really love each other, who have each other's back, who will cut for each other, who will fight for each other, who will fend for each other, who will see about each other in the Lord's church, in this brotherhood. He uses the term brother. He says kind-hearted and humble in spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Everybody all right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now for this very reason, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, in your perseverance godliness, in your godliness brotherly kindness, in your brotherly kindness love. Amazing. One of the fruits of the Spirit is for us to have this affection. You think it would be, you know, sometimes we brothers, we got this machoism. We don't like to show love, you know, we don't like to show, but we can be, we can shake hands, we can hug, we can pray, brothers, we can cry, sisters, we can cry together. We can love on each other. You don't get that out in the world, do you? Yeah, I've seen grown men cry together. Grown women cry together, and sisters and brothers in the Lord's church, the Bible commands us to show brotherly kindness one to another. It will build up the body all over and over and over again. It builds the body. Listen to what else the Bible says about us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It says in Romans chapter 14, verse 21, Romans 14, 21, it is good not to eat meat. I wish I had time to read all of it. Or to drink wine, or notice, everybody say this with me, or to do anything, everybody say anything, or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. You see the concern God wants us to have in this brotherhood, in this family? He says, listen, it's not about rights. It's not about you having your own way. It's something in the body of Christ, in our brotherhood, we have those who've been in the body, those who study their Bible, those who are Bible school teachers, and we have those who just come in the body. Those who are new in the faith. Some who've been in the faith, but they're just feeble. They've had troubled lives. They've had all kinds of things go on. And he says this, don't you be so arrogant that you think you can do anything just because you are who you are. And you overlook anybody, any brother, any sister in the body. Some things you might have the freedom to do, but do not do it because you're going to cause somebody to stumble. Bro, Gary, I know in the Bible, ain't you can't show me in the Bible that I can't have my drink. Be careful what you're drinking. Our teetotalers in here, well, maybe that's probably the wrong crowd, but be careful with your liberties. Be careful with your liberties. Yeah, we be careful. But Gary, dancing not a sin. Be careful what you're dancing. Be careful with anything. Well, Gary, you can't show me. I can put my Christmas tree up. Just be careful with your liberties. Depending on who you're around, be careful with your liberties. But notice, because see, the rule is this, is that God don't want you doing anything that's going to cause somebody to stumble in the body. Well, they need to grow up. No, you need to grow. Ha. Yeah, we need to grow up. See, the person that shows spiritual maturity is the person who can be the bigger person. Even when you say you have the right to do something, you choose not to do it because you want to be pleasing to God, first of all, and not your own self. Lord have mercy. Listen to Matthew chapter 6, 18, 15. Matthew 18, 15. Listen to this. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won. God, listen, God is concerned about the brothers and sisters in the church. And now notice this. Now he says, if your brother sins, go and show. Now, you know, now anybody don't need to be going to anybody anyway. Amen, somebody. Yeah, the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. If you got more sin than your brother, you need to pray for that brother. Amen. Let somebody else go to him. But even when you go, he says, God, all this wisdom in the word of God, he says, even when you go to him, even when you cease. Now notice this. And it says, if your brother sees, we're going to read another passage going to say, if anyone sees him, don't be guessing about somebody saying, well, I just want to come to you because I heard. Don't go to nobody talking about what you heard. Amen, somebody. Just keep it to yourself. Yeah. You just deal with what you absolutely know. And then even if you know it, if you see me sinning, don't come down here down front and say, yeah, I saw Brother Gary at the club yesterday.
You beat him
there. Well, if you saw me at the club, you must have been there too. Hello, somebody. But if you see me, come to me. See, when you come to a person private, that means you care about them. You care about how this will affect them, how it will affect other people. See, some things, Lord have mercy, church, we need to hear this. Some things you can nip in the bud if you're man enough, if you're woman enough to do it like God say do it. You can nip it in the bud before the whole world, the whole church, everybody, Facebook, internet, find all about it. He says, go to him privately. And if he listens to you, sometimes we don't listen to each other. But if he does, or if she does listen to you, you've won your brother and your sister in Christ. They're still in the brotherhood. They're still in the body. We're still loving each other. And you know what? You won respect with that person also. You won some deep respect with that person because you did it God's way. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. 1 John 5, 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God concerned about us. God trying to make every way for us to be saved. I'm talking about salvation tomorrow night. God trying to make it. He's trying to build an army all around us.